The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 10. This will also serve as the sermon text this morning. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man who is not a shepherd does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. Because he works for money, he does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I also have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This is the commission I received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear again those words from the Good Shepherd, John chapter 10. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, what would you die for? What's important enough to you that you would give up your life, risk your life for? Would it be for freedom, for your country? There's many people who have done that, who have risked their lives, given up their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy today. I'm sure many of you, when asked that question, would say, for my spouse, for my children, I would give up my life for them. Easier said than done, when that gun would be to our heads, when that risk would actually need to be made. Maybe something very valuable, very precious. What would lead you to run into a burning building, into your home, to risk your life to rescue? Maybe a family heirloom, some precious, precious heirloom. Maybe that says more about our materialistic nature these days. What would you risk your life for? What would you lay down your life for? I'll bet you wouldn't run into that burning building for an old t-shirt. You probably wouldn't run into that building to save a pencil. You wouldn't run into that building for something that you didn't see as valuable, as worthwhile. What does that tell you about your good shepherd, Jesus? And what does that tell you about the relationship that you have with that good shepherd? How precious, how valuable you are to him. As Jesus speaks these words, we are stunned by how truly he loves us, how much he truly loves us. To see the care that he gives for us, to see that he would die for us, and to see that he lives for us. But what would lead Jesus to speak this way, the way that he does in this wonderful discourse called the Good Shepherd Discourse, to speak so nobly about his love for helpless, for harassed sheep? Well, it wasn't just because he was perceiving something that only he could see as true God with his omniscience. He was right there in the midst of the wolves. It wasn't something that he could just think and imagine and know was coming far off. He was right in the midst of the fight, where his life was right on the line at the moment. Jesus speaks these words in the context of just having healed a man who was born blind. And what was the response of the spiritual leaders at the time when this happened? They condemned the man for putting his faith in Jesus, and they condemned Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. Jesus was in the midst of the wolves. Jesus was in the midst of being attacked and in the midst of protecting a helpless sheep who was also being attacked. That's why he spoke so vividly about those wolves and those who attack. The hired man, who is not a shepherd, does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. Because he works for money, he does not care about the sheep. Jesus speaks as one who knows. Jesus speaks as one who loves, who has genuine care for these sheep as he's watching them be harassed and being attacked. Have you ever been given a charge? All of us have such a charge. Any of you who are parents have been given a charge, a task to care for another person? Anyone who serves as a teacher in a school, or who serves as a civil servant who is an employer, who has employees under him, to recognize that you have people who depend on you, who are helpless without you, what care you have the opportunity to provide. It's so easy for self-interest, though, and self-preservation to take control of us. I don't want to speak too lightly when I compare ourselves with those hired men who abandon the sheep when they see trouble coming along. And yet it's so easy for us to show the lack of care for others and to be more concerned about protecting ourselves. I act according to what is in my best interest for me. I go where I need to go. I do what I need to do. And so little am I concerned about the impact of others, the effect on others. This was never the case with Jesus. One who seeks not his own good, but the good of others. He's different, unlike any other who has ever been given a trust, a charge to care for others. He's perfect in his loving care, even to the point of self-sacrifice, to lay aside his life for the sake of those entrusted to his care as he looks at them and sees how they're harassed. Let's look at this and marvel. Marvel at this good shepherd, and why does he do it? He does it because he is good. This is a term that can be easily overlooked in this text. We can underestimate that term. Good just doesn't seem to accurately describe this shepherd. It doesn't give this shepherd the justice that he deserves. In contrast to all other caregivers, providers, you see how truly good he is, perfect in his care for the sheep. This famous, this beloved, familiar image is utilized again and again in Christian symbols and art. Even here in our own church, we see the love that the good shepherd has for his sheep, the way he cares for children as he draws them to himself and close to his heart, because he knows how vulnerable they are. He knows their sin. He knows their need for protection. He knows their need for salvation. And he meets that perfectly for them. And it isn't just for the young in the congregation. It's every single one of us, lost, helpless, sinful, in need of shepherding, of care, of saving. And the Good Shepherd is there to provide exactly what we need. And how can he do that, this Good Shepherd? This Good Shepherd is able to care for the sheep in the way no other caretaker could, because he understood perfectly the charge that the Father had given to him. This is the commission I received from my Father. It was a command. It was a duty. It was something that Jesus had to follow and obey. And so he carried out that work perfectly. What was that charge, that commission, that command of his heavenly Father? It was to love them to death. Give your life for them, the Father said. And I again ask, what would you die for? Something valuable. Something you love very much. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he dies for us. Yes, we are the sheep. We are helpless and harassed. But so often we act like the wolves. So often we act and behave in our sinful ways like those hired men. But that's the charge. The command from the Father, and he does it not because we're so lovable or so precious or so valuable, but because he is so good. Because he truly loves in a way that no one else could ever love. He suffers on the cross to give his life to rescue sheep. Yes, sheep. He throws himself into the jaws of Satan, that roaring lion. He hurdles himself into the jaws of death, that consuming judgment that came upon all men because of sin. He lays his life down for us and for our sin, for the sheep. He dies according to the charge, according to the command of the Father, for all the times that we were given a charge, but we didn't care. For the times that we were given a responsibility to protect and to serve, and instead we served ourselves. For the times when we were too self-absorbed, too concerned about our own preservation, he laid down his life for us. His sheep. See how much he loves us, that he would die for us. But what good would it do for a self-sacrificing shepherd, so kind and loving, to give his life for sheep? It wouldn't be any good. If you've got a dead shepherd, then most certainly you will soon have dead sheep. But that's what's so amazingly good about this shepherd, this good, loving, caring, dying shepherd. That one lives. He said about the work, the charge that God had given him to do, he says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again." Yes. Jesus has the authority not only to die for the sheep, but to come back to life for the sheep, to rise from the dead. That's what makes this shepherd so good. The authority to go and struggle and wrestle and fight and die with our enemies, and then to overcome them still, all to protect the sheep. That is truly the Good Shepherd. In contrast to the Good Shepherd, it's very easy for us to underestimate those wolves, the hirelings. Jesus warns us, God warns us about them. Here's that word of warning again. What kind of damage can come from these wolves and hirelings if we don't heed this warning? The wolves attack the sheep and scatter them. Attacked and scattered, those verbs are violent words. The first means to seize upon, to snatch and to drag away, a violent action. When the wolf captures the sheep, it's crippled, maimed, even killed in its capture. The prophet Amos uses some vivid language in a picture like this to describe the predator upon its prey. As he writes, just as a shepherd rescues two legs or a tip of an ear from the mouth of a lion, so the Israelites who live in Samaria will be rescued with only a corner of a bed or a piece of cloth from a couch. Yes, something might be preserved, but look how much is lost. Such is the danger of the wolves and the hirelings, following false prophets. Perhaps you might survive, but not without great pain and loss, and it's more likely that you could be the one to be completely devoured, who did not escape and find rescue. That's the danger. That's the risk of flirting with false teaching, with the wolves and the hirelings. So often we're tempted to underestimate, just as much as we underestimate the nature of the good shepherd, to underestimate how bad the bad is. So often we think that all roads lead to the same place. We'll end up in heaven anyway, right? So what's the big deal? A little false teaching? No harm, right? No. You risk being seized away, being carried off, being scattered and destroyed. This is what Satan loves to do with a sheep. Let them think that they're safe. But all the while they're among the wolves, devouring their own flesh that will end in their own eternal loss and damnation in hell. And Satan isn't in it for sport. It isn't a game just to play with the voice of the Word of God, the truth. It's eternal loss, spiritual life or spiritual death at stake, as Jesus, the Good Shepherd, speaks. And so he speaks to them as he looks out and sees, not far off in the distance, but in the midst of that danger. He says, they will listen to my voice. So the Good Shepherd says, who cares for us with his word of truth. And what is that word of truth? The command the Father gave to him to suffer and die for the sheep to save them from sins, and then to rise from the dead to give them life. He said these words about 6 weeks before he would actually accomplish that very thing, that he would give up his life on the cross. Surely, these are prophetic words, but we marvel at them even more than just their prophecy. We marvel at them as we consider that context, that Jesus knew and understood how very real that danger was, and how very real his suffering and death would be. And yet all the while he knew. There was never any doubt in Jesus' mind, even before his death took place, about how it would turn out for him, and about how this would turn out for his sheep. He had authority. Authority over life, and authority even over death. And so he used that power, that authority, exactly according to the will and even the command of his Father in heaven, to be that good shepherd, to rescue his sheep. See how much he loves you. What a picture. You've seen it in many places, even as you see it here in church. The love that Jesus has for the weakest, for the smallest, for the most vulnerable and helpless. And then to see that that truly is each of us, and that he truly loves each of us. He loves us so much that he cares for us, knowing exactly what it is that we need, protecting us from the evil of the world by feeding us with his good, true word, even to the point that he would die for us. To remove the stain of sin that mars us, that plagues us, he died to take away all of those sins, in love to rescue us from the jaws of Satan and death. But then to rise, to continue to be that good shepherd, that perfect shepherd, who loves, who cares, who dies and lives. See how much he loves us. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.